Hello, it's Friday, June 16th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio, where we're bringing you news that nobody, and I mean nobody, in the alternative media is bringing you. You're hearing it here first, folks. The good, the bad, and as you'll see today, the ugly. We're not just sitting around reading news articles. We're breaking the news, and this is what we need more of in the alternative media. Now, before we get to the article at hand, and I'm sure that everybody has already seen it now on the Wing TV homepage, we'd first like to thank Mr. Francis Steffen and
Mike Nunley. We were on Veterans Views, I think it's the Steffen Report or the Frank Report, with both of them yesterday at 4 p.m. on American Voices Radio Network.
And very, very lively conversation. They do a very good show there, so we'd like to thank both of them. Also, one last time before we provide the results for the first Wing TV viewers poll, we'll be taking votes until Sunday evening, and I know we got flooded with a whole lot of other responses yesterday and this morning. So if you want to vote on this, go to the Wing TV homepage. You'll see it in the right-hand column. Put in your 2 cents worth, and on Monday we're going to have the results. The response we got has been overwhelming, much more than we ever expected.
Very interesting.
Yes, very interesting, and it shows that a lot of people have some very, very grave concerns about who's delivering their news in the alternative media. With that out of the way, let's get right to it. We've been saying all week that we had potentially a big story to break this Friday. Well, by yesterday, we got everything worked out, and I guess we'll just read the headline. Former Mike Rupert employee alleges sexual harassment. Now, before we read a statement from not only the woman who is making these allegations, but also Mike Rupert's response, what we're going to do is try to set this up a little bit. Then we're going to read their statements verbatim. Now, we did a lot of talking yesterday about how we should approach this show. And did we just want to give commentary on their responses, or did we want to provide their precise exact words with no input from us? And we decided, I guess.
We think it's best if we remain as publicly objective, in spite of whatever private opinions we have based upon our experiences with Mr. Rupert and other people in the alternative media. We decided we're going to remain publicly objective and just relate this as the two people involved have put it out.
Right, and we think that's the only fair way to do it, because if we start giving our commentary, or our opinion on their words, there could be bias, inaccuracies, and so forth, and that's the last thing we want, because these are very, very serious allegations, and I know we're not taking them lightly, and I don't believe that the two parties involved are taking it lightly either. So for the sake of accuracy, we decided that we're going to read their statements verbatim. But first, we want to let you know how this all came about. On Monday, June 12th, that was this last Monday, we received a document via email sent to us by a third party.
Right. Now, this third party does not know the author of the document, the female who was working for Mike Rupert.
Right, personally.
So, right. Doesn't know her at all. And we got it from this person.
Right. Now, in this email, they said that there was a former employee of Mike Rupert who was alleging sexual harassment in the workplace. Now, he later then sent us a copy of this woman's statement. The first thing, of course, that we did after reading it was we had to check to see if this was an authentic document. Now, it took a little bit of time to actually track this person down because the third party who sent us the document didn't have contact information for her. So we had to do quite a bit of searching to actually find her. Well, we finally did. And actually, the first place we tried was from the Wilderness, Mike Rupert's company. They informed us that this woman no longer was employed there.
Right.
So we asked them if they had any contact information, email, phone number. They wouldn't provide any of that information, so we had to take it upon ourselves. Well, we contacted the woman and asked pretty much point blank, are you the author of this document?
Needless to say, she was very surprised that we were in possession of the document. Mm-hmm. She did confirm herself as the author of this writing, and
she said that everything in the document
was true.
Now, this is her opinion. We want to make that very clear. She said,
"Well, that's her statement."
Yeah,
her statement. She stated to us that she stands by every word in the document.
Yes.
We both spoke to her on the phone.
Right. Now, because of her fears for her own personal safety and also because of her plans for a potential future lawsuit, we decided not to disclose this woman's identity. In the statement, instead of where her name is provided, we call her Ms. A. And we think this was the fairest thing to do. We also told her and her attorney, we also spoke with this woman's attorney on one occasion, informed him of our plans,
right,
how we plan to proceed with this story. So, her identity has not been revealed in this document. So, after arriving at this decision, as we said, we contacted her lawyer. Then, we contacted, in the sake of fairness, Mr. Michael Rupert.
Right, and we advised him of the document that we had, and we asked him if he wanted to make some kind of public comment or statement in response.
Right.
Now, what was curious was that his initial response to us was not one of surprise, mm-hmm, or anger or even curiosity. It was simply, are you going to be including the name of the author,
yeah,
in your article? And then the next statement he made was, obviously, I know who she is.
Right. So there was no surprise on his part about,
yeah,
what we informed him about. Also, the first time we contacted him was Wednesday evening, June 14th. This is very important, as you'll see later on, but the first contact we made with him was June 14th, and we have copies of every email that was sent back and forth between, mm-hmm, myself and Mike Rupert, and we also sent a CC'd a copy to Lisa Giuliani. So, we said, Mike, in the sake of fairness, if you would like to make a response, a statement to this, we'll include it with the accuser's statement. Well, last night, we received a statement from Mike Rupert, and it will be included after, it is included on,
right,
the Wing TV homepage.
And I think that we are allowed to say that his response is typical of every other communication we've ever had with him,
mm-hmm,
where he's threatening to,
yeah,
basically sue us. So.
Yeah. So, before we get started, one last point. The statements that have been provided on the Wing TV homepage and what you will hear today are the original statements by both the accuser and Mr. Michael Rupert. They have not been altered in any way whatsoever. There are even some typos in them that we left intact.
Right, right.
And the only thing that has been altered, as per that we told the accuser and her attorney, are that we redacted in two places her identity. We call her Ms. A. Now, we are also presenting this information in the most objective manner possible, and we're not taking a public stance on the presumption of innocence or guilt of either party.
We do feel that the public has a right to,
yes,
know. All of the people involved in the Patriot circles, 9/11 truth movement,
right,
and this internet conspiracy community at large, everyone who is aware of Mike Rupert needs to know this stuff.
And also future employees, for whatever that matters. So this is of vital importance to everybody in the 9/11 truth community, the alternative media, those who are involved in energy and sustained living fields,
right,
and also all of you listening today in the Patriot community. So what you're going to hear first
is not anything you're ever going to hear on any of these other alternative media networks, because they always close ranks,
yeah,
when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Yeah, so this is breaking news. The first statement, what we're going to do is read back and forth, paragraph. The first statement is from the accuser. At the conclusion of that, we're going to make another statement about Mr. Rupert's response, and then we're going to read his. So, Lisa, why don't we start?
Ms. A begins
first Wednesday.
It's dated Wednesday, May 31st, right. 2006. Give me a chance, Victor. I, Ms. A, am an employee of Mr. Michael Rupert at From the Wilderness Publications on 655 Washington Street in Ashland, Oregon. I will explain now what specific incidences during my brief 3-month employment have led me to feel sexually harassed by my employer.
I first noticed what I felt was chauvinism in the first few weeks of employment when Mr. Rupert would look me up and down when I came to work, especially when I came to work for the first time wearing a knee-length skirt with black stockings. He gave me a quizzical look because of my outfit, and I had to remark to him, "It's a skirt," as if he'd never seen one before.
In another clothing instance, I was wearing a blouse that has a bow tied in the back for decoration, not a functional bow that holds a blouse in place. I walked into Mr. Rupert's office, and he asked me blatantly, "What happens if I pull on that bow?" I was flabbergasted, but answered, "Nothing, it's just decorative. I feel a question like that is absolutely inappropriate in the workplace."
I am a rock climber. One weekend I sustained a horrible sunburn. I asked that my boss, who saw the burn and was concerned, put aloe vera gel on my burnt shoulders. I thought getting help with aloe on burnt shoulders was appropriate, but perhaps I was wrong to think so, because a few days after, Mr. Rupert told me how much pleasure he had experienced when rubbing aloe on my shoulders and how he went home fantasizing about touching me. The following week, after I had again been rock climbing again, I was sitting in my office using Tiger Balm on my sore arm muscles to relax them. I believe because Mr. Rupert had been asked previously by me to apply the aloe vera gel to my shoulders, he felt he was warranted in reaching out to rub my forearms in a sexual manner to rub in the balm, which I simultaneously asked him not to by saying, "No, don't touch me. I already rubbed the balm in." Mr. Rupert's inhibition in reaching out to touch me made me fear that whenever I came back from a weekend of rock climbing, he thinks he has the right to touch me with the excuse that he's helping me apply an ointment. I asked for his help once, saw the immature and degrading result, and never asked again, which is why the second incident really bothered me, because I hadn't asked for his assistance the second time because of knowing his reaction the first.
Mr. Rupert and I are the in-house writers at the publication. Because I arrive to work in the late morning around 10 o'clock, I often stay late, at least until 6, but many times until even midnight, putting in overtime hours. By this time in the evening, all other employees have returned home, and Mr. Rupert and I are alone at work in what he calls our creative writing time space. One day, he said he was so overwhelmed with the need to write a story that was just on the tip of his tongue that in order to release some energy, he wished he could just run around the office naked. I laughed at him, thinking he was joking and able to relate to wanting to free oneself in some way before writing. Most writers take a walk, meditate, or drink coffee for this writer's block. To my surprise, as I was sitting at my desk working, Mr. Rupert came running around the office hall corner in nothing but his black underwear, stopped directly in front of my open office door, made some exclamation of writer's frustration, paused in a wide-legged stance, then ran back down the hall and put his clothes back on in his office. I waited for him to return to a clothed state before continuing to talk about the story production schedule that's on a poster board in the hall. Mr. Rupert commented, "Didn't you see my scar from my appendix removal?" I said no, because I didn't want to look at him almost naked in the first place, and he proceeded to lift his shirt and show me a large scar that runs from his belly button to a few inches down below his waistline. This was much more of a physical show of body than I ever would have thought I would be subjected to by my boss. Perhaps if we'd all been having a summer pool party, running around in his briefs may have been considered more acceptable, but I find his action in the office, especially when I'm the only employee there and I'm female, to be absolutely inappropriate, unappealing physically and professionally, and it scared me.
There were many smaller instances that occurred, particularly in the time when Mr. Rupert and I were alone after hours. Because we are writers, the subject of sex and sexuality comes up often, especially in the works of our Veterans Affairs writer Stan Goff, who just finished his most recent book, Sex and War. One day after hours, while on the topic of sexuality, gender, and transgender, issues discussed by Goff in his recent FTW stories on the military, Mr. Rupert explained that he views pornography. I admitted that I have also seen some pornography, but noted that it wasn't much and that I only appreciated classy films, not XXX films that degrade women. Mr. Rupert took this conversation as a cue to make a disc of some clips of pornography, which he intended to give me. Upon thinking harder about this action, Mr. Rupert declined to give me the disc he had intended and told me he valued our friendship too much to be giving a disc of such materials to me. I thanked him for his discretion and told him I'd rather maintain a friendly relationship also. While the general topics of sex and sexuality are topics which I thought that as writers we could maturely discuss, and in many cases discussing sex or sexuality is part of discussing a current story, I soon found that I was wrong.
Friday, May 26, 2006. Mr. Rupert, after hours, said he had something to tell me and sat me down in the shipping area of the office. He told me what he was going to say needed no response from me. He then told me how much he appreciates the writer's relationship we have and how he loves how well we can communicate on a deeper level than other employees who aren't writers. From there, he paused and said to himself, "Mike, you're backing off. Just go ahead and spit it out." He then told me what he thinks about me sexually in his mind every day since I began working at FTW, and that he's sure I do the same. He then told me he was in love with me. I was flabbergasted. The best response I could come up with on the spot was to tell him that there are other women who love him in his life right now that he should be focusing on. I got up and went to make some tea, all the while scared and wondering to myself, oh no, what in the world do I do now? I've never had to deal with such a situation before.
Over the holiday weekend of Memorial Day, I consulted with friends and family as to what actions I should take. They recommended I take a stand against my boss's advances and tell him directly how I feel. So, Tuesday, May 30, 2006, I came to work intending to do exactly that. When I got to work, Mr. Rupert told me that there was a disc in my top drawer for me. I immediately knew what it was. Downloads of pornography. My coworker, Ryan, noticed the disc and asked me what it was, because I had previously told Ryan some of what had been occurring with Mr. Rupert. Ryan was very suspicious about the disc and, being the webmaster, wanted to see it. I told him no, it should not be opened by anyone, and that I was going to return the disc to Mr. Rupert at the day's end and also tell him how I felt about him sharing his feelings for me the past Friday. Worried about the outcome of such a confrontation, Ryan said he'd be at the touch of a cell phone to be there at the office if I needed a third party to listen to the confrontation.
At the day's end, as I was expounding to Mr. Rupert the details of why I was overwhelmed with editorial tasks and needed to create a better schedule for stories, etc., I then also grabbed the disc from my desk and told Mr. Rupert, "I cannot accept this from you," and handed it back to him. I used the same reason that Mr. Rupert had used previously, saying I valued the friendly relations we had and that I didn't want to compromise that. I then directly stated to him that I had thought over the weekend about what he had told me, and though he didn't want a response, I was going to give him one. I said, "I do not go home thinking of you romantically or sexually. I'm sorry, but you're my boss, and I don't think or feel that way about you." I could tell he was hurt, but tried to hide it, and commented, "I didn't say that you go home and think about me sexually," which he had said directly to me on Friday. I asked him if he thought that the feelings he told me of on Friday were going to cause him to act unprofessionally, and he said no. So I thought that at that time I had established with him that the disc was inappropriate and unacceptable, and that I did not return the same sexual and romantic feelings that he had professed he had for me. I used the words professional relationship and professional environment many times while telling him how I thought we should proceed by acting professionally. At that moment, Ryan walked in the building, worried about the outcome of a confrontation I told him would occur. I had Ryan walk into Mr. Rupert's office and said in front of both of them, Ryan is aware that you gave me an inappropriate disc and that I've given it back to you. I've also explained to Mike that I felt uncomfortable with his confession on Friday and asked if we can maintain a professional relationship, which he said we can do. Ryan commented that he was glad all had worked out well and in a mature manner and walked out toward the front office door. I followed behind him, talking to him and continuing to reassure him that the confrontation had gone pretty well and that I thought the situation was handled maturely and would be in the future, because I had gotten Mr. Rupert's verification that a professional relationship could be maintained from that time forward. On Mr. Rupert's way out, he was obviously embarrassed by how much information Ryan had been let in on by me, and said to both Ryan and I, "Now Ms. A is running around telling everyone I'm a flasher. I feel betrayed. I thought I could be myself, and apparently I can't." Both Ryan and I followed him around the back of his vehicle, trying to explain to him that the situation wasn't all that bad. It had been handled well and could now be over with. Mr. Rupert continued to say how betrayed in his confidences he felt and asked that we let him go home, which we did by backing away from his truck. Ryan stood and I sat down on the curb.
In the past few weekends, I have become increasingly concerned by phone calls to my cell phone from Mr. Rupert on weekends. On one Saturday only 2 weeks ago, Mr. Rupert called me at 8 a.m., 11 a.m., and 11 p.m. Knowing how Mr. Rupert's been acting towards me lately, I did not pick up the phone, but also because it's a weekend and I'm not working. I felt if there was a business issue at hand, Mr. Rupert would leave a message to that effect, but he did not, which made me think it was a personal call and he hadn't wanted to talk to me about a work-related issue.
Today is Wednesday, May 31st, 2006, and I am about to return to work after writing this document. I fear my job is in jeopardy due to Mr. Rupert being personally hurt by the fact that I revealed to my coworkers how I felt I was being sexually and emotionally harassed. While I did not enjoy turning him in or making the facts known and clear to others, I felt it was within my self-respect and legal rights to do so. If I am fired, I can't see what reason Mr. Rupert would create, because since I've joined the company, editorial production has increased heavily. I've taken on laying out our newsletter, attended conferences, meetings, and many other events to promote sustainability and tell the public about Free the Wilderness's effort to help the world transition past peak oil, the main issue of our company. In fact, just before I returned the disc, Mr. Rupert stated to me that he was trying to give me a raise, which I told him I would decline at this time because I didn't feel it was warranted just yet. I felt like I needed to get a few more months of newsletters and stories under my belt and at least hit 5 to 6 months of employment before asking for a raise. So in retrospect, if I walk into the office today and am fired, I would ask why on the day before I was almost given a raise and then found myself unemployed after revealing to others the harassment that I had been enduring.
I made the mistake of not realizing early on that I was being harassed. Snide and chauvinistic comments are everywhere in modern media and society, and for a while I was able to just laugh it off when such comments came from Mr. Rupert by telling myself it was just a harmless product of patriarchal American society. Friday, May 26, 2006, was a day I could no longer just shrug the advances off, because at that point Mr. Rupert had confided to me that he had emotional, romantic, and sexual feelings for me, and I was rightly frightened by that statement. It was no longer a clothing comment, degradation, or patronization. It was Mr. Rupert's emotions coming out about me, and I fear what his emotions may make him do. I know that he's been mentally counseled before for alcoholism and violence, and knowing that, in combination with knowing he had been having feelings for me, made me fear his actions and their consequences and made me reach out to my coworkers and family for help.
I would like to state that I love my job position and I'm very effective at my work. I highly enjoy reading and editing stories from wonderful writers on a daily basis. I love attending conferences and networking with people on the topic of sustainability, and I have wholeheartedly plunged into the focus of the publication and on creating good relations between the publication and those people in Ashland who support it. I would like to continue being employed at FTW because I feel I'm doing a good deed for society by writing about sustainability and bringing sustainable practices to the public in the form of independent media. I stand behind the premises and foundations of FTW and wish to continue doing a stellar job, but only on the condition that Mr. Rupert outlines a sexual harassment policy for the company that is enforced by all, but mainly by him, from now on, into the indefinite future, with all current and future employees. I do not want to see this becoming a problem for every female employee that comes to work for Mr. Rupert in the future, as I have heard that this has been the unfortunate case in the past, with every female employee he's had having to endure some form of harassment or advancement.
I have written this document on my own PC at home and will give a copy to several third parties for legal purposes. I solemnly swear that this statement is wholly true, and I have explained my situation with Mr. Rupert to the very best of my ability. I am fully prepared to speak with legal counsel regarding any details or instances that occurred, as well as any further actions I should take. End statement. All right. That is a statement from Mike Rupert's accuser. What follows is Mike Rupert's response, but first, we have to interject a few editorial notes. First of all, in the course of Rupert's response, one of the things he asked numerous times was whether or not we would disclose his accuser's name in this article. We told him that we wouldn't give any details out on that subject.
Yeah, we don't have to divulge that information to Mr. Rupert.
Right. And subsequently, we decided that no, we would not disclose his accuser's identity. We then informed her and her attorney that we wouldn't disclose this identity.
Right.
So, now, as you'll hear in Mr. Rupert's statement, he said that we refused to provide this document to him to inspect. Well, we have every single correspondence between Mr. Rupert and ourselves, and never once did he request this document.
No, he never did. In fact, the only time he even says anything about seeing the document is in his written response, and there he makes a misstatement because he says we refuse to provide it to him.
Right.
He never asked to see it.
Right, never. And we have all of our emails back and forth, so this is very, very provable. Also now, as you'll hear, and you can read on the Wing TV homepage, Mr. Rupert says that the first email we sent to him on this issue was on June 12th. That would have been a Monday. That was the day we actually received the document. Now, this is flatly incorrect because the first time we contacted him was Wednesday, June 14th. Now, remember we said that early on in our introduction? Rupert says we first contacted him June 12th. The first time we contacted him was June 14th.
2 days later.
2 days later. We have the emails.
Right.
We have the dates on them. So, we're pointing these matters out for the sake of accuracy, because in his opening paragraph, Rupert has already made two very provable misstatements concerning our correspondence back and forth
right.
with each other. Finally, then, a couple paragraphs later, Rupert says, that this statement written by the accuser was that of a former disgruntled employee, but the date of the accuser's original statement was May 31st, 2006, while she was still employed by Rupert. The date of her termination was June 1st,
correct.
2006. So when he says that this was written by a former disgruntled employee, this was written while she was still under the employ of Michael
right.
Rupert.
She was still an active employee because the termination notice was not effective until she was issued the document. She wasn't issued the document until June 1st.
So these are three points that Mike Rupert is absolutely incorrect on, and we want to point this out for the sake of accuracy.
Correct.
So this is Mike Rupert's response dated Thursday, June 15th, 2006.
Since you refused to answer whether or not you were going to publish the name of the individual referenced in your email dated June 12th, I am at a legal handicap in my ability to respond fully and completely. Since you have not shown me the document you intend to publish, you have also violated journalistic and legal ethics because I cannot confirm or deny whether it is the same document I have seen or whether it has been tampered with or not. That is a non-avoidable legal obligation on your part before asking for comment or publishing. How can someone comment on a document which you refuse to show them?
As the former employer of the individual in question, there are things that I cannot disclose unless and or until that individual either files a legal action or identifies herself publicly and affirms the statement. Accordingly, all documents furnished herewith have been redacted to exclude this individual's name. If you reveal it, then the onus and legal liability will be on you.
I am also putting you on legal notice that, per se, any defamation which involves sexual conduct is libelous. At a very minimum, you must be 100% accurate in your sourcing and vetting of that allegation. Have you done that? What you have is an alleged fact and not a fact. By all legal standards, you must make sure that this alleged fact is accurate. If it is, in fact, the same document I have seen, it contains inflammatory and retaliatory allegations from, as you will see, an individual who is obviously a disgruntled former employee. That being said, your sole witness here is very easily impeached, even with the information I am, after consultation with counsel, now at liberty to produce.
Basically, this is a very troubled individual whom I believe is in need of help, which I sincerely hope she gets. She was terminated for cause on June 1st and is not eligible for rehire. A redacted copy of her termination is attached, as is a probationary employment contract, which would have served as written notice to correct deficiencies had she accepted it. The bottom line is that you are going to have to come up with more witnesses that say that these events happened than ones that dispute it. Right now, all you have is one very easily impeached and not very credible witness.
Very little of this dispute has to do with me personally. Attached, you will find 3 signed statements from Free the Wilderness office staff. A 4th witness, a female, is not available today to respond in time to meet your deadline. None of them corroborates or will corroborate what you or she will apparently be alleging.
Shortly after being hired, the individual in question engaged in a sexual relationship with an employee here who was already involved in a committed relationship, according to him, with another woman in California. The woman who was terminated after starting this relationship with my employee used an FTW-owned cell phone to place 103 telephone calls to our male employee during the course of her last month of employment alone. Why this was necessary is unknown, since her office and his were next to each other. This was a direct violation of our stated policy, agreed to by her verbally when the phone was issued.
How many people call others 103 times in 1 month? Of course, I have the records to prove this. That much I can disclose. Many of these calls were made during hours when she was supposed to be working.
Shortly after commencing the sexual relationship with our employee, the same individual who you're basing your article on made inappropriate sexual advances, overtures, and remarks to another male FTW staff member who is married. He strenuously objected at the time. His statement is attached.
This second male staff member became concerned and attempted to warn the first male staff member, who was apparently disinclined to listen. This ultimately resulted in a physical altercation involving the now-fired female employee, the second male staff member, and the first male staff member on the evening of Sunday, April 2nd. After the altercation, the young woman hurried to my home at 10:30 at night in a state of high drama, which seems to be, for lack of a better term, her drug of choice. This resulted in the first counseling session with the young woman in front of witnesses.
Not long after that, the now terminated employee engaged in a loud, abusive verbal assault on a third male employee of FTW. Statement attached. In that case, the young woman used loud, abusive language, strong profanity, and personal insults. This was all complicated by the fact that this third male employee did not work for the young woman and was not under her supervision or even in her department.
This resulted in a second intense counseling session with the young woman, wherein she started talking about hiring and firing people. I am the only one who hires and fires at Free the Wilderness. Because we all had hopes that she could be saved and her writing skills honed and developed, it was decided not to terminate her then. I deeply regret that decision.
Finally, after the first male employee, with whom the young woman had remained romantically involved, gave sudden and dramatic 2-week notice, I now suspect as a result of manipulation by the young woman, I noticed that the woman's work performance was suffering enormously. The same woman had been making inappropriate sexual advances, remarks, and comments to me for several weeks, and at one point I had stridently emphasized this was not the way I wanted the relationship to work.
Sadly, this young woman is extremely bright and has an enormous potential to be a successful writer/editor someday if she can acquire control of her personal life and conduct.
As for you, I encourage you to publish your article and break as many laws as you possibly can.
This will serve as official notice that unless and or until the young woman in question chooses to file a legal action, which would open the door to a much more detailed and devastating response on my part, I will make no additional comment of any kind. I will not respond directly to any messages from you or published on your website unless I do so through counsel.
It is best that all cards and all hands be placed on the table now to prevent this person from harming more people's lives than she already has. The only way that can happen is if this former employee files a legal action which will untie my hands.
Therefore, it is my express wish that she file a legal action against me at the earliest possible moment. Excuse me. At that time, I will be freer to disclose substantial additional evidence which will completely and utterly destroy her credibility and leave Wing TV well out on a very long, libelous, and creaky limb. That would constitute an early Christmas present for me. Sincerely, Michael C. Rupert, President, CEO, FTW Publications, Inc.
All right. That is end of statement for Mr. Michael Rupert.
Right.
There's one final note. As referred to in his statement, Mike Rupert did include 5 attachments with his response. But last night, by his own admission, there were errors made on his part in redacting certain information that concerned his accuser's identity. Now, since we chose not to reveal her identity, we chose not to include these attachments.
We also chose not to take the responsibility to alter Mr. Rupert's documents.
Right. We did this for potential legal reasons and thought that it was best not to alter any kind of document that he sent to us. So, if you care to see this material, we suggest right now that you contact Mr. Rupert directly at From the Wilderness Publications and ask him to see those documents.
Right. I can tell you, I have seen the documents. I don't see that they necessarily negate anything she says.
Yeah. So at this point, you've seen or you've heard, and if you want to see, you can go to the Wing TV homepage, both sides of the story. The accuser's initial statement and Mike Rupert, the accused, his response. We would like to hear your thoughts, your ideas on this. And at this point, as we said in the opening, we're laying this information out to the public. This is news. This is vital information to anybody that's in the Patriot Movement,
right,
the alternative media, a 9/11 researcher, or in the energy or sustainable lifestyle.
We're going to try hard to follow up and advise you as developments, if any, happen as things progress.
Right. If the accused does file officially a lawsuit against Mr. Rupert, we will, of course, relay this information.
I'm sure we'll be notified.
Exactly. And as we said, give us your thoughts on this. We're going to be back on Monday. We're going to have our poll results. Who is the biggest plant shill government op in the alternative media / Patriot Movement? This is your opinion. All we're doing is reporting on it. It's been very lively. There's been a ton of responses. And it just shows that they're very, very many people out there who have strong suspicions about the people delivering their news.
Right. We once again want to thank everyone for weighing in on this. And if you haven't weighed in on it yet, speak now until Sunday night or forever hold your peace.
Until Monday, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
Have a great weekend, everyone.